Welcome to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show, a real estate investment program. Listen and learn how to use real estate to build wealth and passive income streams for you and your family. We bring you experts every day to discuss and answer your questions on everything from single-family homes all the way up to 600-plus unit apartment complexes. And now, the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome to the show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, I'm working on your financial freedom. And on today's show, we're going to jump into the time capsule. We're going to get into a time capsule, and we're going to go back all the way to June of 2020. Now, are you ready for the trip? Are you ready to get in this time capsule? Now, this is not like the TARDIS, okay? It's not necessarily bigger on the inside than it is on the outside, okay? This is just your standard, you know, generic time machine, okay? I found it on Amazon. I got a good deal on it. So it's a little bit cramped for space, but you and I, we're going to fit in here just fine. As a matter of fact, it comes with its own flight crew, so we're going to be taken care of. It's not like we have to drive, and there's beverage service. Yes, there's beverage service. So we're going to be fine. So come on into the time capsule, sit on down, get yourself buckled up, make sure you pay attention to the safety briefing because it could save our lives. And, oh, looks like they're closing the door now. Let's get ready to jump back in time. Poof, we're there. Oh, it was that easy. Yeah, did you enjoy the beverage service? Yeah, there's never enough time to do beverage service when you're doing time travel because it's instantaneous. Okay, so enough of the funny stuff. Bank of the West, June 22nd, 2020, almost 2 years ago, they made some pretty bold predictions. What Bank of the West was trying to do was get their minds around what was going on in this country. So let me set the stage for you. March 2020, we all know what happened there, right? The orange-haired guy got on TV, said, we're going to go into lockdown, yada, 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 2 weeks, right? Okay, we all know that wasn't true. It wasn't true. That's not how things shook out, right? So Bank of the West, about, I don't know, 3 months later, 90 days into this thing, they're observing what's going on in the world. And they're trying to get their heads around it too, because Bank of the West is a bank. They're a financial organization. They serve customers, various different types of customers. They serve customers like you and me, people are just everyday citizens. They serve business entities. They serve. I'm not doing a plug for Bank of the West. I'm just telling you who they are, what they are, and what they do. And part of what they were trying to figure out in June of 2020 was, where are we in this economy? Where are we in this world? Because now keep in mind, up to this point, we had been in lockdown literally for 3 months. You remember that, right? Lockdown for 3 months, being told 2 weeks at start, and then maybe another 2 weeks just because we're going to flatten the curve, and then it turned into a 90-day period. So Bank of the West made some predictions. They published these predictions June 22nd of 2020. I am not making anything up here. I am just sharing with you what they predicted. And the reason we're doing this is I want you to understand that predictive analysis is only as good as the outcome. You heard me correctly. Predictive analysis is only as good as the outcome. What am I getting at? Okay, you like to gamble? I grew up in Vegas, so I know more about gambling than I care to know about gambling. Here's what I know about gambling. If you think you're going to come out ahead, you're wrong. You're absolutely wrong. And the reason Las Vegas, Nevada exists where it does now and is as big as it is now is because they invited a lot of people over the years to come and test their luck in Las Vegas, Nevada, and that town was not built on the winners. No, that town was built on the people that lose and lose a lot of money. Yeah, a lot of money gets lost in the stock market too. Yeah, did you like that little transition there? Because I think gambling, I should say investing in the stock market is gambling. I guess I let the cat out of the bag. I really do, because I don't think you fully understand what you're invested in. I don't think you understand what the companies that you're buying are supposed to do for your overall portfolio. I think you've basically just divorced yourself from being in charge of your own retirement destiny. And I'm not saying you're a bad person. I'm just saying you probably have done what about 95% of this country does. And I was part of that 95%. Yeah, I left my retirement stuff, go on cruise control while I took care of the day-to-day operations of my life. And then over time, what I found was, ruh-roh, this ain't working, dude. All right, Bank of the West, let's get back to them. There's five highlights that came out of the report. And we're gonna test them. We're gonna state them, and we're gonna see if they came to fruition. Fair enough. U.S. reported over 30,000 new COVID-19 infections on Friday, the highest since May 1st. I think that's factual. I didn't go and cross-check that fact. I'm just gonna give them a win. They're gonna get a win for that particular one because I think it's relatively true because that was going on. Okay, second one. Financial markets have been mostly unfazed after officials stated a second lockdown is unlikely. Okay, I think that's actually true too, because I think that happened. I remember that happening. As a matter of fact, those of us in Texas, around June of 2020, we were like, all right, we're finally pulling out of this thing. I remember Texas made a decision to come out of lockdown. And then remember what happened, right? You remember what happened, right? Yeah, we didn't stay out of lockdown very long. We went like right back into lockdown. And the rest of the country that didn't try and come out of lockdown like Texas did, well, they just stayed in lockdown. Okay, so part of that statement is true. The financial markets at that point weren't relatively phased. They really weren't messed with too much because the messaging coming out of the White House was that we think we're getting ahead of this thing. So the country was starting to rejoice. Really, the country was rejoicing. But the second half really wasn't true because we all know that a second lockdown, it actually happened, right? Okay, there's three more things here that I need to get to. But you can hear the music. I hear the music. That means Al did a bad job of time management. Not a problem. Al still has three more segments to get these three salient facts out to you. You're going to want to hear these. Don't go away. When you look at the effects of what happened in 2008 and you compare it to what we are hopefully coming out of right now, real estate has definitely shown its resiliency. It has provided for people not only a place to live, but a place to work, a place to raise their children, a place to teach their children, a place to prepare all of their meals.
And that's really where the rubber meets the road, is that there are two things that people have to have, and they strive very hard to have them, and that's a roof over their head and food on the table. And if you are investing in something related to either of those two things, you are going to have a winning strategy. And in addition to that, you're providing something of value to the people around you. And creating a win-win situation while creating wealth and passive income for yourself is the best life you can get.
Real estate is resilient. You should have real estate in your portfolio. Join us for the next live online free workshop. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Now, let's get back to your map to financial freedom.
Welcome back to the show. All right, if you're just joining me, I'm going back in time. We jumped into my little bargain time machine that I got off of Amazon. It's a little cramped. I apologize for that, but we're not in there very long. I mean, we're only in there long enough to go back into time, and then we get out of the time machine. It's not even enough time for beverage service. That's how fast it is, right? Okay, so I was talking about five highlights that came out of a report that Bank of the West published back in June of 2020. And the reason I'm going back in time is I want you to understand that predictive analysis is not always on target. It's not always on target. We don't know what the future holds. The only way we know what the future holds is for us to actually get to that point in time and experience what occurred. And then all of a sudden it's in the past, right? Kind of weird how this time stuff works. So the first two items that I talked about, I I kind of get, well, the first one, I gave them a win. I gave them a win because they said the U.S. reported over 30,000 new COVID-19 infections on Friday, the highest since May 1st. Now, those of you that have been listening realize that that statement is not really a predictive analysis statement. It's not. It's talking about something that happened in the past. It's talking about a factual event. That's not really a forecast. It's not a forecast. Okay, so actually, I got to scrap that one. All right, let's just take that one off the table. Now, the second one, well, the second one had to do with financial markets have been mostly unfazed after officials stated a second lockdown is unlikely. Oh, wait a minute. That's also talking about the past. Wait a minute. That's not talking about the future either. Oh, holy smokes. All right, so now we're not dealing with five things that they're predicting. We're dealing with three things, because the first two things were actually an analysis of the past. All right, this one, let's get to number three. This one's got to be it. Investors seem is a word that tends to make you think that maybe there's some predictive analysis here, right? Investors seem to also be anticipating more radical action from the Fed if things turn sour. Okay, well, that's not really predictive analysis either. I mean, it's actually just describing the behavior of investors. But the investors, okay, I'll give them this. The investors are anticipating radical action from the Fed if things turn sour. Okay, we know that didn't happen in 2020. No, the Fed didn't do anything. As a matter of fact, the Fed didn't do anything in 2021 either, right? We had to wait until 2022 to come along before the Fed got involved with modifying the interest rates. And why are they doing that? Why are they doing that? Well, they're doing it specifically because they're trying to control inflation that has just come out of left field based on policies that I'm just going to describe it the way I see it. I'm not saying I'm right or wrong. I'm not saying you're right or wrong. I'm just telling you what I'm seeing. I'm seeing that there was a change in the presidency, that the new administration came in. They decided they didn't like the way the old administration was doing things, and they affected change, and they affected immediate change, and that immediate change went into play. Well, that change started moving about the economy, if you will, because of the regulatory rules were changed. Executive orders were put into place, and, well, change occurred. And part of that change had to do with the fact it triggered inflation. Okay, I'm not going to spend the rest of the show arguing my point. I'm just telling you that's my opinion, and I'm pretty sure that's what's happening. Bank of the West, they really didn't make an observation. They made an observation about investors, but the investors, they got it wrong. They got it wrong because the change wasn't made based on the fact that the stock market was affected. No, the change was affected because of inflation, which did have an effect on the stock market. I'll give you that. That's part of the reason the stock market is doing what it's doing, is that all of these companies that were doing, you know, earnings projections all of a sudden went, ruh-roh, everything's like more expensive because all of a sudden a war over in Eastern Europe was allowed to erupt and oil supply was disrupted and pricing on oil went way up. I mean, way back through the roof. I mean, it's, you know, it's funny. It's absolutely funny because I'm talking about this period, June of 2020. Remember, we got in my time machine. We went back there to read this article. Okay, I'm really reading it on the internet. You know me. But what was going on with oil prices back then? Do you remember? I wasn't going hardly anywhere. The only place I would go was to the supermarket because that's really the only place I was allowed to go, and to the gas station because that's where I had to go to put fuel in my car so that I could go to the gas station or to the grocery store, right? Okay. I remember paying, now get this, I remember paying $1.65 a gallon around this time period for premium fuel, not the generic unleaded. I'm talking about the premium fuel. I paid $1.65 a gallon for my fuel. I remember that specifically because I remember telling myself, I have not seen gas prices this low since I was a very, very young man. I'm talking like way back in my 20s. I think it was in my teens, maybe. That's when I think gas prices finally adjusted to where they got to $1 a gallon and then pretty much stayed there. So I'd never seen $1.65 a gallon gas for a very long time. But because nobody was driving, nobody was consuming fuel, well, it put a glut into the markets. And as a result, the price adjusted downward. What we're seeing now is just, well, it's kind of the opposite. Everybody wants fuel right now. And, oh, well, there's a constraint. And there's a war going on, which is consuming a lot of that product, but which wouldn't consume it otherwise. Because trust me, war operations consume a lot of resources. I know this. I do know this. Yeah, I know this. So at the end of the day, what caused the Fed to react was the fact that the government made policy changes in how we do things in this country. And as a result of that, we're getting inflation. And as a result of inflation, that's why the market's adjusting. That's why the Fed is adjusting interest rates up. They're trying to control inflation. They're trying to tamper down inflation before it gets like runaway to where all of a sudden prices are double. Now, this is something you're not familiar with. Trust me, you're not familiar with like going to the store one day with a dollar in your hand and being able to buy a loaf of bread for a dollar. And then the next day you go to the store with that dollar and they say, I'm sorry, you need $2 to buy that loaf of bread. I've been in countries where that literally happens, where you take a wheelbarrow of cash to go get your groceries and all of a sudden you realize that you really needed a second wheelbarrow of cash. Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. Okay, there's two more things that they identified here. It has to do with Congress. And it has to do with the financial markets. And obviously, I didn't get into them. But we're going to see how well Bank of the West did with their predictive analysis when we come back.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to be a part of Lifestyles Unlimited? Del Walmsley tells you what to expect when you join us for the next live online free workshop.
We've been here for 30 years. Over 30 years, we've had and or do have roughly 50,000 plus members all over the United States. We have retired tens of thousands of people, and it's just incredible what you're going to find that you're going to be in here. Not only are you going to find the greatest amount of information and education, you're going to find the people, the most open people you've ever met in your entire life.
Come meet the people at Lifestyles Unlimited who will help you change your life and empower you to stop depending on a paycheck, your 401k, IRA, or Social Security for your future. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com. At the free workshop, we'll teach you the five ways to make money with real estate, cash flow, equity capture, appreciation, equity buildup, and the tax advantages. Like Dell says, we'll open our books and show you how the numbers work with both single-family and multifamily case studies. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com.
Warning. Listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show will change your life. We will teach you how to create wealth and passive income so you can be financially free. And now, back to your host.
Welcome back to the show. All right, so Bank of the West, they said Congress may approve another round of stimulus in early July, though partisan dissent is growing. That's actually a true statement. Oh, you're wondering what I'm talking about because you didn't catch the first half of the show. Gotcha. All right, so what we did is we jumped into my discount time machine. I got it on the internet. I did. Jeff Bezos sold it to me, and it's here. It's not like the TARDIS. It's not as cool as the TARDIS, but it's still pretty cool. It's a little cramped. It has its own flight crew, so we don't have to mess with that. And it does have beverage service, but what we experienced was that the trip is so short, you don't ever get to the beverage service because it's like instantaneous. And what we did was we went back to June of 2022, and I'm reading a Bank of the West market update where they're giving the indication that they're trying to tell you what's coming in the market. They're doing what I believe is predictive analysis. Okay? And the point I'm trying to make today is this. Predictive analysis is only as good as what actually occurs in the future. Yeah, that's my third variation on the definition of predictive analysis, which is this. You don't know what the future holds any more than I know what the future holds. Now, it would be nice for us to, you know, use math or science or something to help us understand what the future is. But at the end of the day, we don't know what the future is going to be. We don't know. They said that Congress, we did that one already. Let's go to financial markets seem to require more substantial news on the economic trajectory and corporate earnings. Okay, again, these two statements, they're not really too predictive analysis oriented. What they really are is they're more descriptions of what two different entities are doing. The first one is a description of what Congress may do. And what they're talking about is that Congress may approve another round of stimulus. Okay, well, we know that they did, right? And they did say that there was partisan dissent because some people in Congress thought that that was a waste of money. Other people in Congress thought that's what we needed to do to help Americans out. Okay, I don't know about you, but the amount of money I received in stimulus money was not enough for me to cover my household expenses if I had lost my employment. Oh, and by the way, if I had lost my employment, it wouldn't really matter to me because I make money through passive investments. I do. I don't rely on a job. I rely on my assets producing income streams for me. And the one thing that I learned through the pandemic was that everybody needed a place to live. I kind of knew that going into the pandemic, but it was totally reinforced during the pandemic. And as a result of that, people were willing to do anything in their power to keep themselves from being removed from their home. Because nobody wanted to be removed from their home. And the biggest problem is this. If you were removed from your home, where do you go? Where do you go? Because look at what was happening during the pandemic. People were migrating from expensive places, California, New York, okay, to less expensive places, the center of the country. Let's just put it that way, right? Okay, except for like Chicago. That's not real, real cheap up there. That's expensive too. But housing, people demand housing. People absolutely demand housing. We needed housing during the pandemic. We didn't necessarily need ice cream, although it was nice to have it, wasn't it? We didn't necessarily need an abundance of fuel because we weren't consuming it because we weren't allowed to go anywhere and do anything that would have required us to consume fuel. We didn't necessarily need a place to work because we found a way to work, whether it was where we lived or it was a location other than where we lived. We found a place to work. But man, we had to have a place for the family to hang out, didn't we? I mean, you had to have a place to make your food. You had to have a place to lay your head down at night. You had to have a place for your children to play and to read them stories before they go to bed. I think there's some pretty amazing things that came out of the pandemic. I think they have to do with family values. I think that we have become so overstretched as an economy, if you will. As a people of the American community, we're so focused on the bottom line. I mean, all the stuff that I'm reading you, this Bank of the West stuff, this is all about what's going on in June of 2022 because nobody knew. There's a lot of insurity, and there's really no predictive analysis in this article. The predictive analysis is really describing bigger entities that aren't Bank of the West and what their concerns are moving forward in history. And now let's jump back into the time capsule and let's go back to today. Poof. Yep. See, we missed beverage service again. That's how fast that is. I don't even know why I paid for the upgraded beverage service because I never get to use it. So look at what happened. Let's look back almost 2 years. What we saw was a real estate market on fire. We did. Even in areas where you had people migrating out of, we still saw growth in the real estate sectors in those areas. We did. not as exceptional of growth as we saw in areas where people were migrating to, but we saw growth. Now, the stock market itself, I think it kind of did okay, didn't it? I mean, think about it. We got into the pandemic and everybody was afraid, right? When Trump came on TV and he said, hey, we're going to shut this thing down. We're going to go do that 2 weeks. Everybody lay low, take a little staycation. We'll be back on top of this. Okay, he didn't say it that way, but that was what he was alluding to, right? He was trying to convey to us, let's just get through this and then we'll get back to normal. And he was wrong. He was wrong. Whether you love Donald Trump or you hate Donald Trump or you just tolerate Donald Trump, I don't care. He was wrong. He, as the president of the United States, is no better at predictive analysis than you and I are. Now that I've blown up your whole concept of predictive analysis, now that I've basically told you that you just don't know what the future holds, how do you figure out the best way for you to invest? How do you do that? Well, you actually kind of do what some predictive analysis folks do. You take a look at the past. You do. You take a look at the past. You measure the past because the past has occurred. It's occurred. You can't go back and change it. I mean, you and I may have gone and visited it. We didn't change anything, did we? No, we did not, because that creates a whole big problem that there's a lot of science fiction books written about, right? Okay, so we didn't do any of that. But we can go back and we can analyze what was going on during those periods of time, and we can take the results that actually occurred and then try and link them back to what we thought was going to happen, and then maybe come up with some conclusions as to, okay, maybe we don't go that the stock market like tanks 100%. Maybe we could only expect it to tank 10%, right? Okay, I'm not saying the stock market's tanking. I'm just giving you an idea. And that's what a lot of these predictive analysis people do. They look to the past to try and analyze what the future will hold. And sometimes they get it right, and sometimes they get it wrong. And in any case, it is still nothing more than gambling in my book, because in my opinion, and I don't know what scientific or mathematical classes that you have taken, but I was always taught this. If you go to a roulette table and you have a $5 chip in your hand and you look up at the little reader or display thing they have alongside the roulette tables today, right? You've seen those, right? It shows like the last 20 rolls that the ball has fallen into, right? And you see that everything is mostly coming up red. Should you bet red? And I would tell you this, you got a 50-50 shot of it coming up red or black, no matter what has happened in the past. Ponder that for a minute, and we'll be back.
Lifestyles Unlimited member Kirby talks about his experience at the two-day Financial Freedom Seminar.
2008 was my first full year as a financial advisor. 2009, stark contrast, my paychecks went down about 80%. I started looking for avenues to grow my wealth, grow my income. I found Lifestyles Unlimited. I joined in 2010. I started investing in both single family and multifamily. Between 2010 and 2015, I bought 5 houses. The two-day class, they teach you to buy 4 houses to make your first $250,000. I bought 5, and I made about $60,000 each. That was another $300,000 that I made because of real estate.
You've heard us and our members on the radio. Now join the Lifestyles Unlimited team in a city near you or online from the comfort of your own home for the Financial Freedom Seminar. GiveMeTotalFreedom.com. Use promo code 2022. Save 60% off the regular price, plus get a second year of membership for free. Register now at GiveMeTotalFreedom.com. Limited seating, unlimited potential. Register today at GiveMeTotalFreedom.com. Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. It's time to turn up the volume and fine-tune your passive income plan so you can create the lifestyle you've always wanted.
Welcome back to the show. All right. In Lifestyles Unlimited, we meet together physically. We share information through emails. We help each other out. If somebody has a question and then somebody has the answer, they'll post the answer that meets the needs of the question. Everything that is communicated within the confines of our knowledge base, which was created by Lifestyles Unlimited for us. You've been dreaming of going to Vegas. The last 4 minutes, that's all you can think about, right? I mean, you went on the internet, you checked out what flights are going to cost, you booked your room. That's what I planted in your head, right? Right? That's what you're thinking, right? Okay, well, hey, go for it, man. But know this. If you go to Las Vegas, you're not going there to break the bank. You're going there to be entertained. You heard me correctly. You are going there to be entertained. And you're going to go with a certain amount of cash. And you may come home with more cash than you went with. But the reality of it is this. Most people come home with no cash in their wallet. Or if they do come home with cash in their wallet, it's usually less cash than when they went with. And my advice to you, if you like to gamble, pick a number, decide how much you're willing to spend on your entertainment experience, and stay within it. That means if you're going to spend $2,000 on Vegas, then your whole trip should cost you $2,000. I think that's flight, hotel, meals. What else is? Oh, gambling. Yeah, plus all the shows and stuff, right? Okay, stay within the budget. If you spend the entire budget, no problem. But if you do a cash call on yourself, in other words, you reach into your wallet to pull more money out than you budgeted, you are now over budgeted. You are in the red. So did you bet on red or black? Doesn't matter, does it? Because the wheel is going to spin, the ball is going to roll, and the ball is ultimately going to fall into one of those 38 holes on the table. You heard correctly. I said 38 holes. Because one of the things that Vegas has done is they've added two slots. They added a zero, which is green, and a double zero, which is also green. Now, why do they add those things? Because adding those things shifts the odds to their favor. Remember, Vegas exists to make money, not to pay money, to make money. So all of those games are modified to where the house gets the better odds. And I think the stock market's the same way. I really do think the stock market's the same way. Oh, what am I getting at? Oh, okay. Well, I think there's people that know what they're doing with investing in the stock market. And I would say they're probably in the 1% to 2% of all the people that invest. And then there's everybody else. I really believe that. I believe that there are people that really fully understand how the stock market works. And they don't really necessarily work on predictive analysis, because what they do is they take a look at entire companies. And they buy and sell entire companies, not fractional shares of companies. Before they buy those entire companies, they do a lot of due diligence. They do a lot of research. They take a look at what those companies have done in the past. And then they take a look at the performance and the potential of that company for the future. And then based on what they know, they make decisions as to whether or not that company is worthwhile for their portfolio. If it is, then they put the company in their portfolio. So what's that got to do with real estate investing? Everything. And here's why. When I buy a piece of real estate, any piece of real estate that I buy is an asset. And as an asset, it's effectively its own company. A single family house is its own business unit. Period. End of story. I manage it as a standalone asset. I manage my multifamily properties as standalone assets. They are individual business units. They do different things for me. They produce different types of returns for me. And they are the two types of real estate that makes perfect sense for me to invest in. And, oh, predictive analysis-wise, prior to the pandemic, you could buy all kinds of commercial property. I remember people were thinking, hey, let's go buy mobile home parks because we could get a better cash on cash. Okay, and that's what they would pitch, better cash on cash. But then when you analyze the deal, you realize that mobile home parks own like hardly nothing as far as depreciable assets. So even though you're getting more cash on cash, you don't have any depreciation write-offs to offset the cash flows on the property. So as a result, you're going to pay taxes on those cash flows, which will reduce your profit. Yeah, it's understanding how the business works. That's what we teach you at Lifestyles Unlimited. We teach you how to own and operate real estate assets, either single family assets, multifamily assets, and that's it. We don't go anywhere else. We don't teach flipping. Flipping, hear me loud and clear. Flipping can make you a lot of money, but flipping is not investing. Flipping is a job. It is a J-O-B because you acquire an asset and you turn that asset and dispose it. You're no different than a used car salesman. And the IRS says you are too. Well, they don't say you're a used car salesman. That's not in IRS code. But they tax you the same way because they say you are a self-employed entity engaged in the trade of buying, rehabbing, and reselling physical property. That's what they say. I didn't say that. The government said that. And as a result of that, you don't get the benefit of being taxed at something called capital gains rates. It's not there. You don't get that. You're taxed at whatever your ordinary tax rate is. See, and if you're good at flipping, and there are people that are good at flipping, don't get me wrong. There are people that do make money flipping. But you have to know what you're doing. And you have to understand that all of that money that you make is going to be subject to a lot of taxation. 25 to 35% ordinary tax rate. Yeah, let's say you made $100,000 on your last flip. Let's just say $30,000 goes to the IRS because you're in a 30% tax bracket. Okay, so now you got $70,000 left, right? Okay, now you get to pay the Social Security and Medicare taxes. That's a little over $15,000. Well, we've just eroded your earnings down to $55,000. And you're thinking, well, that's nothing to sneeze at. That's $55,000. You're right. That's nothing to sneeze at. You have $55,000. What are you going to do with it? You're going to go buy another property and flip it? Or maybe you're going to go buy another property now, and instead of flipping it, you're going to hold that property. As a matter of fact, you're going to hold it for at least a year and a day. So therefore, you stop being classified as a flipper by the IRS. And now you're classified as an actual real estate investor. And you get all the benefits that the IRS gives you with regards to tax breaks that all real estate investors get. And now your tax situation is different. Oh, and here's something different. You've also developed something called a passive stream of income. Let's say with that $55,000, you were able to buy two houses. And between those two houses, they return $800 a month in passive income to you. That's money you're not working for. The house is doing the work. Your resident is paying you. You're operating that property. It doesn't take 40 hours a week to operate that property. It takes like 40 seconds a week. Yeah, I'm telling you, it doesn't take much time, especially when you do it the way we teach you to do it. So now you've got $800 a month coming in that you don't have to go out and actually trade time for money to obtain. That's the difference, folks. Now, there are some people that choose to start out their real estate investing by flipping. And it's a personal choice. Just understand what that means from a tax perspective for you. But let's get back to this predictive analysis thing. I'm not beating up on Bank of the West. I think Bank of the West was doing what they were doing to try and keep their customers aware of what's going on in the markets. But in June of 2020, that was definitely a time period where we didn't know what direction we were going in. We thought we were going to go in one direction. We wound up going back in the same direction. And the country just went haywire, right? Everything just went haywire. But real estate assets continued to grow in value. Real estate assets continued to produce passive income streams during the pandemic. Lifestyles Unlimited members that retired themselves with real estate prior to the pandemic stayed retired as real estate investors during the pandemic. And now that we're hopefully out of the pandemic, although I don't know, it seems like every time I turn on the news, they're trying to take us back there. It's just, I don't know what's going on in the minds of the people that run this country. But I don't care, because here's what I know. I don't care about predictive analysis because I know that real estate is a time-proven asset class that destroys inflation. I'm good to go. I don't need to read a bunch of stuff. I just need to buy more assets. And you need to do the same thing. Go to lifestylesunlimitedworkshops.com. Let us show you how to do this correctly, and let's get you going.
Thank you for listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. Join us next time. And until then, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the host, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.